You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. Today's message comes from lead pastor Andy Hunt. We pray that it encourages you in your faith journey.
Praise God, praise God. You know, it's been a celebration weekend. On yesterday, we celebrated the wedding of one of our staff members, Madison. She is now in Adams. Madison Bradshaw and Mike and Anita are here as well. We celebrated that yesterday. What a joyous time that was with her now husband, Rowan Adams. They are both youth leaders here at church and have been part of the church since primary school. And we've watched them grow up together for a long time. And again, it's just so wonderful to see church family just continuing to bond and celebrate these milestone events for people as well. And then last week, who enjoyed last week with the 66-year history and talking about that? I've heard from so many people that like, Andy, like when are we doing that again? When is there more? We could have sat and listened to that for a little longer. And I really appreciated that because there is so much more. It was really a mountaintop touching event last week. But we heard from Jill Oxley, and we heard from Joyce, and we heard from Pastor Graham and Chris about those many years. And to be honest, when we were in the lead up to this, and someone actually from the church spoke to me about this many months ago and said, oh, that'll be really cool to hear some more of that stuff again. And so I put it in my brain box and pulled it out then. And I, in speaking to it and planning it with Pastor Graham, I said, I think the angle like that I would love to hear from you guys is about sacrifice. It's about the sacrifice of those who have gone before to give us the experiences that we have today. And I kept saying that and saying that as we were going through, and what about the sacrifice, and what about the sacrifice? And Pastor Graham kept catching me on this regularly. He said, Andy, like for us, it wasn't about sacrifice. It was just about obedience. We were just being obedient to God's call on our life. It wasn't about us wanting to sacrifice more for his sake at that time. All of this, that obedience and even the sacrifice, was ultimately that God would be glorified in our lives and across this property. Obedience and not sacrifice. I wonder if you've ever received a gift from someone before and you've been in the position where they have come to you quite excited. Maybe it's a partner, maybe it's a friend, and they're quite excited to you and they give you this gift and you're like, wow, like I wasn't expecting that in this moment. And then what happens is two things in your mind. Number one, if it's your partner, you immediately think, what have I missed? What is the date today? And what have I missed with regard to this gift? Is it an anniversary? Has it been a birthday? What is the deal? And we can have that moment. And so our mind's working. Okay, what is it? Okay. And now if we figure out that maybe it's not anything, but maybe this is a gift, then the second thing that we think about is, well, I don't actually have anything to give them back. So what have I got in the cupboard over there that I could give? What is in the car that I could excuse myself and go and grab? What am I going to do? Because I don't want to leave the scales of this gift giving uneven here. How am I going to repay this person with this gift? And so whatever scenario it is, that kind of is a default in us to want to give back or give a gift in return for what we have just received. And God has really hardwired us in this way. And when we consider the incredible love of the eternal God that we serve, the question is, with the gift that he has given us, how then do we respond? And that's a really hard question to answer, because how can we ever give anything that is a worthy response to all that God has done for us? Well, as we've learned this year in our theme, worship, the one, worship is that response. Worship is our response to God for all that he has done. Worship, and I want to change the terminology a little bit today, worship is that gift that we get to bring to God. And we've already talked about this year that worship is not just limited to our Sunday service. We come for a time of worship and we have a worship service here, but worship is so much more than that. But what a beautiful gift it is when his people can come together, God's people in unison, lifting up the name of Jesus. What a gift that is that we get to bring him on a Sunday as we gather together. And so often we can sometimes fall into the trap of thinking, as I come to church on a Sunday, I'm in need. And we pray for needs. We do that. But what am I going to receive today? what's Andy going to say, or what's the word going to be, and how's it going to hit me? Or God, in that time of worship, how am I going to feel your presence, and how am I going to receive from you? But church, let us be a church that treats that as firmly secondary, that we come with the primary goal, which is to give God a gift of worship that is due his name as a church. That is something that we get to do not by ourselves, but it's something we get to do united. We get to do together. And part of the importance of coming to church is to come with that attitude to give God that gift that we can. But secondly, we all have an individual response that we have in worship to him. And my question to you today, or question to us, is what will we bring to God? What will we bring to him? We're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 13, and we're going to be in Hebrews. We're going to move around a couple of chapters in the book of Hebrews. So if you've got your Bibles, grab that out. And we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 13, and we're going to read from verses 15 to 16. I've got it on the screen as well. It says this in verse 15, "Therefore," and we're going to get back to that later, "let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need." And this last line, remember it, "these are the sacrifices that please God." So through Jesus, we offer a continual sacrifice of praise. The truth is, when it comes to worship, all worship involves sacrifice. Think about it. If there is no cost, no sacrifice, then how can it be worship? All worship involves some form of sacrifice. "These are the sacrifices that please God," it says. So that would mean there are some, and we see them here, well, even sacrifice itself. We talked about sacrifice and obedience, but it says here in the Bible, we can take that sacrifice is actually important. But there are also some sacrifices that must displease God, that do not please God. You know, there have been a number of times in my marriage with Cass where our wires sometimes get a little bit crossed. I don't know if it's just us, maybe it's just us. And I remember thinking early on, there's a difference between her needs and what I'm trying to give her. And that's why that's sort of just, we're not meeting at the same place. And I remember thinking early on when Cass would say something like, I just want to hang out with you. And I would used to take that and I'd go think, okay, great. Well, all right, let me plan. What can we do? We're going to go and do this activity, and then we're going to go and have that dinner, and then we're going to go and spend this time here, and we're going to have this experience over there, and we're going to plan out this whole night, do all this stuff and jam pack it. But down the track, I learned that it wasn't about all the stuff. It wasn't about the activity. A simple walk around the block was what she was after. It was the quality time that she was wanting at that point, and still does to this day in the same way. But we had those wires crossed, and if we're not careful, in the same way that I tried to give her something that she wasn't really requiring or needing from me, sometimes we can end up bringing this sacrifice because it's cost us something, but we've missed the point of what God is seeking in the first place from us. And sometimes we can even get, and we're going to read this, let me just try and fix that. We can read this, and we're going to read it in a second. Sometimes we can get angry at God because we say, God, look what I've done for you. Look at what I've already sacrificed. Look at the things that I've laid down before you. Like, come on. Look at what it cost me. But the truth is that though there's no worship, listen to this carefully, though there's no worship without sacrifice, it is possible to have sacrifice without worship. Turn with me to Genesis 4, and we'll see this very thing at work. We read about Adam and Eve's sons, Cain and Abel. Cain, who is the man that works the ground, who has the produce coming from that area. Abel, the man that works the sheep, works the flocks. And in Genesis 4, verses 3 to 7, we read about them. And it says, "When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock." The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, verse 5, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. And this made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Verse 6, why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out, because sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. This was that revelation that Joel was even talking about before, about sin. Subdue it and be its master. Like you've got decisions that you can make in this. So here we have the reality. We've got both men bringing an offering, but one of them being accepted and one of them not. And I heard it said this way, that Cain brought some of his crops, whereas Abel brought the best of his flocks. That is the difference that we can see in here. It was some of what I've got here, but this is the best. Now, if we flip back to Hebrews, hope you have your finger still in your Bible, for Hebrews 11, we see the writer of Hebrews actually point back to this very story. And in Hebrews 11, verse 4, he gives us this further context. He says, it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. So we see and we understand that it wasn't just about what was brought, it was about the heart behind the offering. It was what as well, but the heart was so important. See, when we think about Cain and his crops, I was trying to imagine this in my mind. What is some of his crops? He brings maybe like, you know, I was imagining like an eggplant in there and maybe some carrots and tomatoes. Like any, like, I don't know why you'd bring eggplant anyway. Does anyone like eggplant? A handful of people. God's given you a gift in that eggplant. Well done. But anyway, some of those veggies that he'd bring and like, it's just some of what I've got, God. It's some. But if it's just some, then it leads me to believe what's being left out here? The best. Where was the best? The best of it was probably sitting at home. It was probably sitting at home for him to enjoy himself, to have with the family. The best was left there. And God, I'm bringing some of what I've got for you. And it led me to this question about my own life. What time of day are you at your best, Andy? And if so, then are you giving that to me? Is that mine? If your heart is to offer your worship and all you have to me, then are you giving me your best? What time of day is your best? What do you use that time of day to do? You know, it could be about the time of day. It could be about the blessing of finance in whatever area. What is it we do in that space? You know, I even thought about this, broader than this. Sometimes we can think that we have a best few years of our lives, whether it's from a certain age to a certain age, or maybe it's in a certain circumstance. Like, this is the best of my life right now that I have. What are we doing? What is our number one focus in those years that we say, hey, this is my prime time? Are we giving our best to God? You might say, but Andy, you don't know. Like, I need to make hay because the sun is shining right now. I need to reinvest everything that I've got, my time, my money, my everything into this to see it outwork at the other end. Let us never move from the point where, God, I can't give you my best because I need it to keep building. Because the truth is that as we live, this property is evidence of this. As we live in obedience to what God has done, He will unload just a blessing upon us that we have never seen in our lives before. So much more than what we could see if we were holding things and doing things in our own strength. And again, it's not for the purpose of that. That is not, our goal is not that continually. Our goal is simply obedience to God. But never underestimate what God can do as you live a life of obedience to Him. You know, I'm sure Cain and Abel had to work hard too. They did, but we still see that it was only the best that was accepted by God, and it was a reflection of Abel's heart for God that was accepted. Now, when we talk about sacrifices in the Bible, animal sacrifices were very important. And when sin entered the world right at the beginning, give you a little bit of background on this, through Adam, it was as if there was now a stain that was put on humanity. That sin was a stain and God had to move. And being holy and being righteous means that God cannot and will not accept or tolerate sin. It's the very opposite of who he is. Sin is that missing the mark that God has set for us, falling short. If we sin, essentially we are rebelling against God. And so whatever is marked with that sin needs to be cast out of his presence. But God, out of his great love for his children, made a way. And that way, as we see in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, was the blood sacrifice of animals to atone for their sins, a pardon, to cover their sins, it says. This was the old sacrificial system. And we read about this in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, 15 we read, and it said, therefore, let's come back to verse 11. We're going to see what that therefore was there for. And it says this in verse 11 of Hebrews 13. Under the old system, the high priest brought the blood of animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin. And the bodies of the animals were burned outside the camp. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. So let us go out to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace he bore. For this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. So we can see this picture. In the Old Testament, where they had to take the blood and into the Holy of Holies, it was burned as a sacrifice. But then the carcasses, what was done with them? They were taken outside of the camp, pretty much to the tip, to the dump out there, and thrown up on a big pile out there and burnt. And then we see this contrast with the writer is making between Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He carried his cross outside of the gates, out to Golgotha, out to what is called the place of the skull, out to that place of death, that similarity, to make his people holy. To make his people holy. Nothing that you and I could do. Nothing in our own strength. No amount of perfection, perfect living, or extravagant response or gift. No amount of good deeds, nothing could make us holy but by the sacrifice and the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. What is our response? What is our response to him? Well, it says to go outside to the camp, to the place of death where we were meant to be and find redemption for our souls in him. As Joel did this morning, identifying in Jesus' death, his burial, and then his resurrection. For us to enter into the presence of God again, we need to be made holy. And through Christ, our identity has been changed. We have been made holy in him. Able to stand now in the presence of Almighty God. Only by the grace of Jesus Christ, only by the giving of his blood, are we made righteous again in God's sight. In Hebrews 10, 14, if you flick back a chapter, says this. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who were being made holy. All worship involves sacrifice. As we come full circle on this revelation that we have, and again ask, what is my worthy response? What gift can I bring God as a response for all that he's done for me? We know it's not just a sacrifice, but it's a sacrifice that comes from the right heart. And so as we read Hebrews 13, 15 to 16 again, let's just pray for a moment, hey? We're going to stop and pray. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you. Jesus, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for the truth of your holy word. We thank you for the fact that when we open our eyes and see that cross on the stage, that act of love is the most significant thing that we could experience in our lives. That you have opened our eyes and opened our hearts to that reality. Father, I pray for anyone who is considering today the sacrifice that you gave. Lord God, by sending your only Son to the cross for us, however can we respond to that? The Father, the freedom that we find in day by day taking up our cross is what you require of us. That sinless perfection, Lord God, is... Father, we thank you there's freedom from that in your grace. What a joy it is to follow you, Lord. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, to be honest, there is a response that needs to come from the realization or the revelation of this message that I don't feel like I've done a good job in leading us towards. But I would ask that everyone opens their hearts to what the Holy Spirit wants to say to them today, into the challenge that He is laying ahead of all of us. As I just finish off these couple of thoughts, Hebrews 13:15-16 again. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to His name. And do not forget to do good and share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. The first thing in that we see, what is that sacrifice that pleases God? The proclaiming our allegiance to His name. The ESV says, the fruit of the lips that acknowledges His name. What is this? This is the declaration, the proclamation that Jesus is Lord in my life. And we sometimes think, well, I can't preach. I'm not preaching to people around me. And I don't go to work every day and say, hey, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. But the thing about declaring that Jesus is Lord is that it has to have an inward response. Like there is a heart change that happens in us as we say Jesus is Lord in our lives. It means self comes off the throne. It means that when things come up and maybe there's a person that God challenges us to speak to, that we say, hey, actually, self in saying this is uncomfortable for me comes off the throne and I say, well, Jesus is Lord and so therefore I'm going to live in obedience. It means that when there's an opportunity to sacrifice or to give something beyond what we would normally give, whether it be to someone else or be here at church or whatever it is, that we say that Jesus is Lord, and so therefore I'm going to walk into this with a heart that is for you because you are now Lord of my life. I'm not just going to be bent into this by emotion. I'm not just going to be led to this because I think, oh, I better, like, out of obligation, be involved in this now. Because Jesus is Lord in my life, it is laid down before him. And everything you say and anything you say to me, Lord God, I just want you to be glorified by the way that I give, by the way that I serve, by the way that I get up and understand your word and read it because I love you so much. By the way that I sacrifice my own wants and desires for the sake of Jesus Christ. That's what it is to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Proclaim that we belong to Jesus. And it happens in church here when we sing songs like, Jesus, we love you. Worthy is the Lamb. Lord, I give you my heart. And then that practical outworking of this, which is in this passage as well, it says, do good, share with people in need. And we read this in Acts 2 last year about the believers making sure that there was no one in church that didn't have their needs met. You know, sacrifice of praise represented here is a spirit of generosity that we continue to foster amongst each other. Get out of there. But there's also a warning to this as well, that we do not act like Cain and bring an offering that is not to be acceptable. And this in Amos 5:21 is a real warning to us. Let's read what it says. It's on the screen. I hate all your show and pretense, the hypocrisy of your religious festivals and solemn assemblies. I will not accept your burnt offerings and grain offerings. I won't even notice all your choice peace offerings. Away with your noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Instead, what does he want to see? I want to see a mighty flood of justice and an endless river of righteous living. Wow. Justice and righteousness is what he wants. This is a warning to anybody who feels like maybe church is my just time to get right with God, and then I get on with the rest of the week, and the church, I come back and I recharge and I go, all right, I'm right with God again, and then I can do what I want for the week. This is the sacrifice. This is what God is looking for, righteous living. The warning here is that we never come to the point where we are doing all of these things in the name of Jesus, yet ultimately to serve ourselves. And the final scripture as we close and wrap up this, and guys, we might... Just lead us in a song of worship, please. See how you go, Steph. You know that song. You know that song. Romans 12:1-2. We've read this so many times. But can we stand as we read this? Oh, Lord God, we love you. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, Paul is saying, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. I've been really challenged in looking at this, whether I've presented it in that way or not, I don't know. But in this way, that I don't want to ever get to the point where I am, where I'm willing to just offer something to God that doesn't cost me anything. I'm not going to offer something to God that has cost me nothing. I don't want to do what's just easy or convenient. the 21 days of prayer and fasting that we had over the last few years. I come here in the morning, and I walk around the church and I pray. I pray for our church, but I also pray for our community. And I pray that they would come to know the love of Jesus, because like that man up there, Jesus saves your life. And I pray for a move of the Spirit in our community. But I know that it's not enough just for us to come and to spend a few minutes and for me to go, yes, God, we desire you to move. The Lord wants to move. But it is as we, his people, continue to repent, to turn from our sin, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to him, that he then responds by pouring out his Spirit. And so today, my prayer for us as a church and for each one of us here is that we would fully surrender afresh our lives to him. And say, God, I will not present to you something that has cost me nothing. I will not come just with convenience or what I feel like is a good idea or anything less than my best. But God, our hearts are before you and we cry out to you. We want to see you move, Lord God. We want to see you move in this church. We want to see you move in our children's lives, that they would encounter you and your presence and your truth, Lord God. We want to see you move in our youth, Lord, who are just being offered just a false way of living in the world. We want to see you move in their lives, Lord, that they would find fulfillment in a relationship with you. Lord Jesus, that their hearts would be given fully over to you. That there is no emptiness that is offered, but it is a fullness, Lord God. Father, for us in this church, that we would be a light on a hill to our community as we fall to our knees and say, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, worthy of all of our praise. So, Lord God, I pray for every single heart that is here. Lord, whatever area that is that we need to lay down before you again, as a sacrifice of worship in response to all that you have done, Lord, with humble hearts, we ask you to have your way. Have your way. Let this not just be a moment, Lord God, where we say this and then we go about doing the same old thing. Stir our hearts for your glory, Lord God. The lost to be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Good morning, church. If the welcome team could distribute the elements, that'd be great. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Brad, and my journey to faith in Jesus is very different from most of the people here at church today. I was raised in a loving but non-believing home. My beautiful parents are here today, which is fantastic. And I was not properly introduced to Jesus until I was 33 years old. My journey started in late 2021 when a Christian friend challenged my views towards Christianity and was strong in her belief that I was wrong about our faith and that I needed to be more open to reading and learning. My response was very typical of someone who lived in the world, being very stubborn and assured that I had it all figured out. I challenged her to prove that my existing views were wrong. And the fact that I am up here today sharing communion with you 3 years later demonstrates that she did a great job. Praise God. What Ellie did was so simple yet proved to be so powerful for my journey, which started when she gave me a copy of her Case for Christ book to read. This book helped to change my mind towards Christianity and Jesus, as well as changing my life forever. The Case for Christ demonstrated to me that I knew very little about our faith, and that my old views were indeed very wrong. The last four chapters of the book in particular helped demonstrate that I really had very little knowledge about our faith, and I had no idea that the death and resurrection of Jesus formed one of the key foundations of our faith. And more importantly, I had no idea why Jesus died on the cross for us and why it's so significant. As we learn in Romans 5, 6 to 11, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God's demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Learning about Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross and what it means for all of us resulted in me softening my heart towards Jesus for the first time, leading me to become more motivated to learn more about our faith. I found a Bible at home and I opened up the New Testament and started at the Gospel of John, which meant I invited Jesus into my life for the first time. Furthermore, my friendship with Ali enabled me to connect with my friend Brett, who has discipled me since the start of my journey, and it was an honour to be baptised by him last year. What has followed since has been a complete transformation for my life as I have continued to open my heart to Jesus more and more, experiencing his transformational powers in my life each day. The truth is, before Jesus, life was not great for me. I struggled with depression, problems with alcohol, and I developed a gambling addiction, just to name a few of the issues I was facing in life. Jesus saved my life. Jesus has helped set me free as I have overcome my depression, as well as helping to remove my issues with alcohol, along with overcoming my gambling addiction. Through Jesus, I have discovered healthier ways to cope with the normal stresses of life, like prayer, fasting, and church on Sundays. What has made this journey even more special is that God has blessed my life so much at the exact same time that he has been transforming it. Being blessed with a great job, three beautiful nieces, a gorgeous puppy, an amazing church community I get to call home. With a special mention to Chris Blacker, who has helped me so much on my journey so far and has been an amazing example of what it means to be a man of God. And I hope one day to have the same knowledge, compassion, and faith that he has. I have a bright future ahead of me thanks to Jesus, made possible because of his sacrifice on the cross, which allowed even me to be saved and brought back into the light of life both here on earth and eternity in heaven. So as we share communion today, it is always important to remember what the elements represent. The bread, which represents the body of Christ, and the juice, which represents the blood of the new covenant, which was poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins. My encouragement to everyone today is to always trust in what God can do, having faith in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. If Jesus can pull me out of the pit of darkness I was in and transform my life the way he has, never doubt what Jesus can do for you in your life. Please take the elements in your own time. God bless you all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us, and thank you for the grace and forgiveness you showed us through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Lord Jesus, thank you for never giving up on me and for always continuing to search for me when I was lost. I pray that the hearts and minds of everyone here today grow deeper in understanding the true and sacrificial love you have for us all. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you'd like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.